what an amazing ministry that this person is doing. And at first I thought, how could anybody ever be involved in something like this? How could anybody ever really reach, these are my inner thoughts, how could anybody really ever reach the porn industry? It's just this force in the culture that we live in. There's no way that anybody can make a dent in this thing. But Craig as a person, as I've gotten to know him in the last year or two, I begin to realize that God has prepared him to do this. And God has anointed his life. God has protected him. It has been amazing to watch. Because he, like so many Christians, like even myself, is like, man, that industry, people with addiction and different things like that, who's really going to reach those people? If they come to us, maybe we'll talk to them. Maybe, you know, we'll share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. But Craig thought, you know what? No, there's no way. He goes, if they ever are to hear about Jesus Christ, then we have got to go to them. So as you listen to Craig this morning in his story, he is a warrior. He really is. And the closer I've gotten to him, he is a real deal. And his family, his two kids, they are incredible. And so I want you to really, when he steps foot on this stage, I really want you to welcome him. And but before this, watch his little video here.
We've talked to people who have lost jobs because they've been looking at it at work. We've talked to people who have gone bankrupt. We've talked to people where their marriages have been destroyed.
But you're about to meet two young pastors who have come up with a way to deal with all this.
Craig Gross has started a ministry specifically aimed at hope.
And this website captured major headlines.
In mind, some people who are committed to fighting porn are taking a controversial step by confronting it directly in church.
So the problem with porn and any other sin, it's stopping us from doing what God wants us to do.
It's Porn Sunday at Willow Creek Christian Church in Chicago.
American homes now have a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week porno pipeline coming in.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I'm from California, live in Grand Rapids, Michigan now, and I still don't understand why it's snowing. Clint asked me where my coat is. I said, it's April, isn't it supposed to be? Supposed to be, but about 6 years ago is when I started the website. I was a youth pastor. I just was in ministry because of my youth pastor, and so I started youth ministry, and noticed this common theme amongst kids in my youth group, that they were caught up in porn. Difference between me and them, they don't have to search for porn like I did. I'm 32 now, and so when I was a kid, sixth grade, I couldn't find porn. I wasn't tall enough to reach up to the top rack and actually grab it off the shelf, but one day it was at my school on the track, and it was just great. Oh, it's just sitting there, and so we divided up the pages. I took some home with me, put them in between my baseball cards. Parents found them, and they ordered all those James Dobson tapes. 29 versions of them, put them on the way to school every morning, and then said, son, do you have any questions? No, nothing. Let's keep driving. Drop me off quicker. But this was an issue that nobody talked about, and I probably waited probably 3 more years, ninth grade, till I saw it again. One friend told me, hey, you can get the Spice Channel. I said, no, you can't. My parents don't have that. And he said, well, watch. And so I remember sitting in front of the remote control with the remote control and the TV. If you hit A and B and 7 and 4 and 9 all at the same time, it miraculously descrambled it. Some of you tried that. Maybe. It kind of looked like SportsCenter, but we thought, oh, that might be porn. But it was just very difficult to find pornography. And so I avoided it. Now kids in our youth group are saying, you know what, all I did was go online. I misspelled something and I found a porn site. I just checked my inbox and all of a sudden I've got all these images and video all right there. I've just turned on the TV and look what's out there today. And so what we wanted to do was create a safe place online where people could get help and they could get the truth about porn. There's two sides of the coin. Oftentimes, the media and the world only tells you how this is great, this is glamorous, this is entertainment. Heck, at the mall, Spencer's Gifts sells shirts that say porn star. A 12-year-old can buy a shirt, and that's cool these days to walk around with a shirt on that says porn star. In fact, Paris Hilton makes a porn tape, best-selling tape of 2006. It makes her career. It doesn't hurt her career. This is something that our culture now is in love with. The number one show on cable right now is The Girls Next Door, the life of the three women that are living at the Playboy Mansion. This is what we're fascinated with. In fact, this is a lie that I think that they've showed us, that this is great, that this is going to help our marriages, that this is what sex is all about. In fact, pornography is not real. It's fantasy. It's not reality. It's not what you're going to find in a real relationship. It looks nothing like that. And a big problem today is kids that are accessing this stuff. It's becoming their sex education. And what experts are saying is when they get involved in a sexual relationship, hopefully when they get married, they don't know what to do because it doesn't match up with their porn. So oftentimes now, it keeps them from their loved one. It keeps them from their spouse because they would rather have porn, which is all about their needs, what they want. Sex is about the two of you coming as one together, not just your needs, your feelings. You like this. Porn is very selfish. And so what we wanted to do was expose that. We wanted to talk about this issue and let people know if you're struggling, there's other people out there that have this as a dirty little secret. You're not alone. So XXXChurch.com is a safe place where you can get the truth and you can get the understanding that there is hope, there is help. We found out that when we started this idea for this website, I mean, we're not really qualified. I didn't know much about this topic. I didn't even know that women like porn. We were building out a website for men, and then we found out that one in every three people that look at porn online are women. Okay, well, we got women to deal with. Now we've got younger audience. 11 is the average age that someone first sees porn. So we'll kind of attract a younger crowd. Then we found out it's one of the fastest growing addictions amongst senior citizens. It should freak you out a little bit. You've got 11, then you've got senior citizens. You've got men, you've got women. So guess what? Porn is not just that guy over there, that creepy guy that you see at the bad part of town. I mean, no. We've brought this into, this is a $70 billion a year industry. They estimated it last year at $59 billion, and it went to $70 billion. Oh, just $11 billion more than they thought. This has survived the dot-com crash. I mean, this is obviously an enormous industry. The revenues in the U.S. are $12 billion. We produce about 88% of the porn for the rest of the world, but our revenues are $12 billion. That's larger than NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and hockey revenues combined. It's huge. And yet, no one wants to talk about it. I think the reason why the church has kept quiet on it, about 48% of pastors admitted to struggling with this. So oftentimes, we don't want to deal with something in church that we haven't dealt with in our own life. This affects pastors. It affects soccer moms. It affects kids that are on the honor roll. Nobody's immune to this. We've seen, as Ted Haggard, about 2 years ago, this broke out with the president of the evangelical movement, caught up in a whole mess of things. Governor Spitzer was just found out for $100,000, they estimate, in prostitutes. I don't know both those men, but I do know people that struggle with this issue. We call it Porn Boulevard. What might start off online will eventually lead to something offline. This is very progressive. This doesn't just remain a subscription to Playboy for 40 years. You'll get into harder material. You'll get into more frequent use of this. You'll eventually maybe go to a strip club, an escort service, an inappropriate relationship at work. These things will start to creep into your life where pretty soon the secret will be exposed, oftentimes at a huge cost. You'll lose a relationship. You'll lose your ministry. You'll lose your family. You'll lose your job. I've taken people to jail. Every day, when I check the mail, I always know if that's a letter from jail or not, because you can clearly tell how it's addressed and the return. And it just breaks my heart as I read stories of just wrecked lives because of porn. We decided we got to do something. We launched the website at a porn trade show. Yes, those do exist. obviously a huge industry, $70 billion. They have trade shows like the automobile industry, like any other industry. Their big one is in Vegas, the same week as the Consumer Electronics Show. I mean, these people are smart. They figured out how to get this into every home in America. They figured out how to sell all this stuff to us. Well, they do their convention the same week that 140,000 people are looking at Palm Pilots and Motorola cell phones. That's in Hall A. Hall B, porn show. And they sell you a one-day pass to all those businessmen for $50 to come see what a porn show is like. Plus, they have an audience of their own. They estimate about 70,000 people take part of this show in Vegas. We got a booth that cost us $5,000. We didn't know what we were going to do. We thought we might get hurt or even killed. Pastors at a porn show. I brought my wife with me because I'm not dumb and neither is she. And we're not the smartest people, but I am off to the porn show for 4 days. No, it doesn't work in my house. So she came with me. And we brought some other people. Like I said, we're in over our heads. How do we take on this $70 billion a year industry? We took our mascot from our children's ministry at our church, Rex the Rabbit. Jeanette, my wife, dressed up as it. We've had free photos with Rex. You can have photos with Jenna Jameson at that booth, but we had Rex the Rabbit. And surprisingly enough, it worked. People stood in line, asked if they were free. Yeah, they're free photos. Rex had a XXX Church t-shirt on, and then people asked, why do you have a rabbit here? I don't know. It works for children's ministry at our church. We thought it would be fun to bring here. We get back from Vegas. We go back to our normal job, and the LA Times had a story, and it said pastors bring prayer at a porn show. Had a picture of myself along with Rex the Rabbit. That was the end of Rex the Rabbit's career at our church. They said it's not allowed back in children's ministry. You're disqualified. But it's one of those things where we then got invited back to another show. And we thought, wait, you guys are invited? Because we didn't go condemning, yelling, pointing the finger, getting in any arguments. We just told people, hey, we know something better. Well, what's better than porn? It's the hope of heaven and a relationship with God. And wait, you're against porn? Yeah, you know, we're not in favor of this, but we understand it. We understand why you're looking at this. When you stand at a booth at a porn show and you see the emptiness all around you. My pastor came with me last show and he said, Craig, this is like the animal kingdom. These women are treated like dogs. These are somebody's daughters. These are kids that were in our youth group. What is wrong here? Just watch a guy grab his camera and take a photo of a girl that makes some sexy face or put a camera underneath her skirt and then walk away looking at this image. And then we see the girl standing there. The smile is gone. The sexy face is gone. And nobody wants to be doing that. It's a brutal industry. When we got invited back, we told them we had no money. I mean, they were fighting porn. They said, we have discounts. You have Christian discounts at porn shows? No, not exactly, but we'll get you half off at these shows because you're a nonprofit. So 6 years, you fast forward. We've been to more porn shows than I can tell you about. I never thought we'd go back. I didn't think we'd be allowed. They've invited us back to Vegas every year. The shows have expanded beyond Vegas because this is such a monster of an industry. They've been in Detroit. There's a show in New York, Chicago. Next week, we're in Miami. We've got a show because it's spring break, kind of, and you've got a South Beach audience that is young. They estimate that half the audience will be women next week at the show based on last year's numbers. Because so many younger gals that are seeing this stuff and saying, you know what, yeah, this is what I need. This is what I need to be a part of. And it's quite sad. And so our ministry goes back. And what we do now, if you hit the slide real quick, this is a guy I met and he was there on business at one of the shows and he has a huge bag. Well, if 76% of people look at porn all by themselves, what are you doing carrying around a bag that you're going to have to check in as oversized luggage on a plane? He hadn't thought about that. And I think the very same thing, we don't think about the stuff that we're consuming, the things that we're bringing into our relationships, the things that we're dropping into our bags. We just want it all. And pretty soon, we're overwhelmed. We realize that this isn't the aid that it promised for my relationship. This isn't even a band-aid. This has made things worse. We thought, what could we fill in that bag that would fulfill this guy long term? So now when we go to shows, we hand out Bibles. It's pretty simple. We're known as the group that hands out Bibles. Our Bibles look a little different than most. Our booth says Jesus loves porn stars. because we want to let people know that Jesus loves porn stars as much as he loves pastors. And so sitting in front of that booth are Bibles that say the same thing on the outside, but on the inside it's just the word of God that says it won't return void. It's amazing when you stand at our booth and people walk by and they look at this and they keep looking, and then I let them know there's really no pictures, not even one. No red letters either. It's really a Bible. I don't care if you've never been to church before. You know what a Bible looks like. And it's something like, why is this? Well, they're free. We'll give out 20,000 of these this year. And we've seen people come to know the Lord. We've seen people leave the industry. Not everybody. But we're planting seeds. And what I want to share with you this morning is not just get rid of porn. I want to share with you that the hope that comes only in Christ because of this. That porn, or whatever your dirty little secret is, whatever is holding you back, it's doing just that. It's stopping you from experiencing a better life that God has for us. My wife always says to me, Craig, like, don't you get tired of talking about porn? We try and have the no porn word in our family because I have a 5 and a 2-year-old. Nolan brought the Jesus Loves Porn Star Bible for show and tell. So he's in the nursery now. I said, you know, I would get tired just talking if it was just about porn. The idea is getting people free of sometimes a life-controlling addiction that has held them back. And this is what Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Here's a guy who's struggling with something. He doesn't let on to what it is he's struggling with, but I think you get it. Romans 7, 18, I need something. I need something more. I know the law, but I can't keep it. And if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I need help. I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. It happens so often, it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I delight in God's commands, but it's obvious not all of me joins in that delight. Part of me rebels, and when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything. Nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there anybody out there that can help me? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and he does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions where I want to serve God, but I'm pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. Let me tell you, it's okay if you're at the end of your rope this morning. I think we've all been there at one point in our lives where we feel like this is just our lot in life. This is just what we've become. This is just what our life has amounted to. It's a lie. It's not what you've become. It doesn't have to be your lot in life. Paul says, I've tried it all. I've looked to all the answers. Nothing helps. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? The answer is that Jesus Christ can and does. So whether we're at a porn show or we're at a church, we want to share that same message. The answer is only found in Christ. Three things that I want to share with you this morning. The first is that you've got to go to God with this. You've got to realize there's a God that wants to help you. There's a God that wants to offer you something better. He's not pointing his finger at you. He's not looking down at you, counting how many times you've gone back to the same struggle. He's a God that says, I want to give you life. I want to give you help. He doesn't say you're never going to struggle. He doesn't say it's going to be easy. But he says, you know what? I know the number of hairs that are on your head. I know your thoughts before you think them. You're not fooling me by keeping this from you. He simply just wants you to confess this to him and let him know that you need his help. Because you do. You can't do this on your own. You've got to realize that his Holy Spirit wants to guide and direct your paths. And part of going to God, confessing this to God, is agreeing to walk in the other direction. That's part of repentance. When you say, God, I'm willing to walk the other way. Because people say, oh, I told God about this. I prayed. It didn't help. Well, you've got to be willing to commit to leaving that and going in the opposite direction. Part of that is confessing that to God and understanding that he loves you and he wants to help you through this. The second thing that I'd ask you to do is talk to somebody else about this. And it's immediately, well, okay, I'll go with number one, but number two, no, I mean, I don't wake up next to God in the morning, so that's a little easier. My spouse, I never can I talk about this issue with. Well, you've got to talk to somebody. Somebody that you know, somebody that has a say into your life, somebody that's close to you, somebody that wants to care for you and wants to help you get through this. We're not supposed to go about this life on our own. The church isn't just about this on Sunday morning. It's about the community and picking each other up when we fall down. And I think God's placed you here. God's given you a family and a place that you're hopefully able to find one person. At least that you can be honest. Paul says it like this: I want to do what is right, but sin is tripping me up. So one person in your life, God's going to be God, but you also need to be obedient and say, yeah, I need some help. You've identified the stuff that's tripping you up, and now you talk about it. So instead of just walking in these doors smiling, yeah, it's great, man, great week, oh, God loves you, you know, this stuff that we've gotten down so well, we can actually say, no, it's a horrible week. And we can have a few people in our lives that we could say, no, you know what's really got a hold of me? And it's this. And people don't want to talk about porn, though. And let me tell you, if you can talk about pornography, you probably can talk about any other topic. You got to find that safe place. We created something at Triple X Church. It's free. It's on our website at xxxchurch.com. You can download it for a PC or a Mac. And here's how it works. It's called accountability software, X3 Watch. We have 500,000 people using it right now. I wish we had millions. I mean, we've seen 70 million come to our website. You put three X's in front of your site, you'll get a lot of traffic as well. I mean, so not everyone for our site wants help. A lot of people are disappointed. Oh, Kensington, what does that have to do with? No, I thought this was going to be a porn thing. So a lot of people want porn, and they're disappointed when they come to our site. But a lot of people want help. They say they want help. They say they want to change. X3 Watch is not an end-all solution, but it's a great start. And that's when I hear comments like, well, I can't put the software on my computer because I don't want anyone to think I have a problem. I'm a pastor, and so I've got to, well, you should have some integrity and some accountability. And it doesn't mean that you're immune to any of this stuff. Because what X3 Watch does is it monitors where you go online, keeps a record of that in some encrypted file on your computer. And then it sends an email every 2 weeks to an accountability partner that you identify. It lists the site that you visited that's inappropriate, the time that you visited it, and the date. So now you're reminded that what you do in secret is now going to come into the light. And what happens is this helps out with pretty much all those issues that are tripping you up. We've only identified the porn sites that are questionable. But when your accountability partner gets that statement, it's a reminder to them to check in with you. My wife and my best friend Jake, the two closest people to me in my life, they get an email sent to them of anything that I see. I've got to explain. But for me, I don't have to explain that because I don't look at porn. But my best friend Jake will call me. He's a pastor in a church that we grew up at in Sacramento. And Craig, how's your thought life? How's your travel schedule been? Is it out of control? How's your time with your family, your kids? How's your relationship with your God? Hey, dude, I didn't look at porn. He didn't care about that. That's not my struggle. Some days it's I don't want to answer any of these questions, Jake. But I've given him permission to ask me these things and talk about these things. And I need him to be able to ask me those things. You need other people. If you sign someone up for the software, tell them that they're going to get your report. Don't just surprise them. That's awkward. But let me tell you, maybe you're the person that's sitting in today and you don't struggle, but you're here for the person sitting next to you. If they sign you up for this, they've given you permission. Even if it's just one time, you have permission now to speak into their life. And it's an incredible thing. A mom came up to me afterwards, said, my son told me he had a porn problem over a year ago. But how do I bring it back up? He wants you to bring it back up. That's why he told you. And so you have permission. I said, no, I mean, you don't have to do it every time you see him, but make sure you put that back in front of them because they need help. If someone is talking to you about this and you're getting their statement, my friend, he got a statement. I get his accountability report. I said, David, there's porn all over your statement. He said, it must be my son. He talked to his son and his son was clean. There's nothing wrong. And then I said, well, there's still porn on your computer. If it's not your son, it's somebody. He said, yeah, I mean, he had a sleepover. It's one of his buddies. I said, well, you put the software on there, so you're willing to go talk to him. No, Craig, you don't understand. They're our closest friends. Ah, then it'll be easier. Call me back after you have the conversation. Are you kidding me? He's like, I'm not doing this. I said, David, you've got to. He called the kid's parents, his closest friends. He said, my buddy's that porn guy, and he's got the software on my computer. And they said, our son doesn't look at that. About an hour later, they all came over to the house, had dinner, ended up talking, crying, praying for their son. And it was an amazing experience. It was a tough one. But it needed to happen. These are tough conversations that aren't going to wrap up by lunchtime. But let me tell you, you've got to find some help. You've got to find somebody that you can connect with. There's an insert in your brochure. It says, go to a meeting. There's Celebrate Recovery. They're offered on Monday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, or Sunday. So if you're busy, you're not on all those nights. There's a chance that you could go to one of these meetings as a safe place. There's a discussion here tonight. There's going to have some connections to small groups and other places that you can get connected with. There's counseling, professional help. I mean, you've got to take care of this stuff. You've got to find that connection and being able to confess this to somebody else. It's key. I've never met anybody that's gotten over a struggle with porn by themselves. It's not going to happen. Confess it to God. Confess it to somebody else. And the third thing I challenge you with, clean it up. Decide today, not tomorrow, not later, not next week, today to clean it up, on your own to clean it up. The Bible says you confess your sin, you'll prosper. You conceal your sin, you will not prosper. It says in the Bible that your sin will find you out as well. So you're not going to cover up your tracks as well as you used to. Eventually, you're going to get caught. And if you get caught, you'll probably lose it all. You'll probably lose your job, your relationship. Why not come clean now? Why not say, you know what, I'm going to take some steps right now to get it out of my life. You've identified where the struggles are. Now let's take care of it. The Bible says run away from sexual sin. No other sin's like this. Run away with it. Run away from it. It also says in Proverbs 26:11, a fool goes back to his sin like a dog goes back to its vomit. The dogs, they're going to go back to it every time until you give them something else to do and you clean it up. And there's nothing for the dog to go back to. Some of you need to remove the computer completely out of your house. Some of you need to get rid of the porn stash that's underneath the bed and remove those. Some of you need to cancel the 9 HBOs and 12 Cinemaxes that were free, but you know you had to get that on the cable package. Some of you need to end a relationship that's going on at work. A buddy of mine said, when I got found out about this, I gave my wife my checkbook and my calendar. He says, I don't have time and money. You can't get in trouble without time and money, and she controls all that. He says, you know, I'm dangerous with money in my pocket and with a free schedule. And so he says, you know what? These are things that I've identified. Some of you might need to delete a MySpace account, a Facebook account, because those people and those friends aren't your friends, and they don't think like you, and they're just dragging you down, and you've created a false identity over there that is not the way that you want to head. Some of you might just need to go to bed the same time your spouse does. I realize 7:30 for some of you men is early. I mean, my wife, we have 2 young kids, so some nights I'm like, you're kidding me, we're not, 7:30? It's not even dark out. I mean, But when you go down to the basement and then you realize, you know what, late at night, the temptations and you're alone, that's a bad thing. When you go to bed, the same time, better things happen. Identify, you know what, where's your weaknesses? Where are those things where you struggle? Let's get rid of them. We're never going to be able to run away completely from this stuff and clear it all out of our lives, but we can start to remove some of the stuff that's in our immediate sight. A kid came up to me after the talk, and probably 20, and he says, hey, that was good, and your software works great, man, thanks. But it doesn't work on my cell phone. And the way he said it was like, it doesn't work on my cell phone. This is awful. I mean, did we think 6 years ago that we have to develop accountability software for cell phones? No, now we do. We got iPhones, Palm Pilot phones, Blackberries. You can access porn on a cell phone, on an iPod, on a PSP, I mean, everywhere. So sure, we'll eventually get there. But in the meantime, hey, man, let's you and me just talk about this. Why don't you go back to the store, get a new phone? He says, I just got this one. Get a new older phone. The Nokia 50 doesn't fit in this pocket. It's big. It's got an antenna that you pull up, but it's got one space bar game. That's it. No porn. Space bar game, three lives. You don't even get a fourth life. It's just the space bar and dots. And they go down and you go back and forth. And he's not buying it. Why would I? I mean, I got the iPhone, man, with all your downgrade? Yeah, downgrade because you got a porn problem on your cell phone. And don't wait for me to create a software for your cell phone. In the meantime, just give it to the cell phone. Go call AT&T. Hey, disconnect the internet feature on my cell phone. It's as simple as that. He walked away. He thought I was a jerk. I was like, no, man, I'm just tired of talking to people that really don't want help. You've got to want it more than I do. You've got to decide that your family is worth it, that your relationship with God is worth it, that the gifts, the calling, the talent, the ideas that God's given you to change your world, to change your community, to change your church, those things are worth it because this thing will hold you back from doing all that. And you've got to want it. You've got to want to change. Confess it to God. Confess it to somebody else and decide today. Clean it up. I'll close with this. When we were in Las Vegas, we go back to that show every year, and then we go to various other porn conventions, but the Vegas one's the big one. So I'm back there, and we get interviewed a lot by the media. I think they like running stories about us because they're stories of a little more depth, but they can still show all the porn images and get great ratings. So obviously, over the years, it's driven a lot of people to our website. A guy named Martin Bashir is the anchor of Nightline. He comes up and he says, Craig, man, this is great what you're doing. I'm disgusted by what I see here at this show, but we'd like to do a story about your ministry. We start talking, neat guy, and he says, is it true that you're friends with that Ron Jeremy guy that's over there? And I said, yeah, Ron and I are friends. And so he says, can you get him over to our booth? And so we come over to the booth, and that's our booth, the background, and that's Martin, and that's Ron. And if you don't know Ron, he's 55 years old. He's been in porn for 30 years. He's been in 2,000 films, starred in these films. He has slept with over 5,000 women. He's the porn king. He's the most recognizable face in pornography. He's been on reality shows. Heck, he was in Detroit Friday night. Some strip club. He's a guy that when he travels to places, people want to meet him. They want his autograph, everything he stands for and has lived his life for. So this company in New York decided this is such a big deal on college campuses. Let's bring the porn topic to college universities. Well, Baron can't go by himself because you can't just present one side. They need the porn pastor. So the porn pastor and the porn king debate. It's called the porn debate. Thousands of kids show up, mainly to meet him. He'll sign autographs, he'll take your picture. Sometimes 2 hours we'll wait after a debate. The debate's pretty simple. I share for 20 minutes about my feelings about the porn industry. Ron shares for 20 minutes about his. And then kids, for about an hour and a half, ask us questions that range from religion to pornography to, I mean, you name it, nothing's off limits. We've been to Yale, we've been to Ohio State, we've been to 30 places across the country. So what happens is you become friends when you travel with somebody. God has given me an opportunity, I believe, to see Ron away from the porn industry. When we're at Ohio State and the only thing open is Steak and Shake afterwards, we have dinner together. Then we go back to the same hotel, get on the same flight, and we've gotten to do this time and time again. So when Ron's in town or I'm in his town, we'll catch up, we'll have lunch. We're friends. He's met my wife, he's met my dad, he's met my pastors, my board of directors. I try and share those people with him and show him that these are people that love the Lord. I don't like what he does for a living, but this is the opportunity that we have to try and speak into this guy's life. So Martin comes over, he says to Ron, hey Ron, what do you think of Craig? Ron says the same thing every time. I like Craig. He's not a hypocrite. He practices what he preaches, and I'm glad he helps people that are caught up in this. Then he looks at me, and instead of saying, Craig, what do you think of Ron? I got that answer down. I just told you. He said, Craig, is Ron Jeremy going to get into heaven? I just looked at Ron and I said, Ron, porn's not going to keep you out. If you realize that hole in your heart that you and I have talked about, you know it exists. If you realize that hole in your heart could only be filled by God, there's nothing you could do that would make God love you any less. He just kind of put his head down and thought about it, and we moved on from there. And I think about that question every time I see him. And it's the same thing I'd leave you with this morning. Because most likely you haven't spent the last 30 years doing what he's done. Maybe you have. Maybe you've filled your life with stuff that you're not proud of, that you're not ashamed of. And what I want you to understand is that there's a God that loves you despite of all of that. I don't want you to be discouraged to feel like this is your lot in life and this is just what you've amounted to. I want you to walk out of these doors encouraged to know that there's a God that loves you. A God that says, I've come to give you something better. A better way of living. You don't have to live like this. He offers you hope. He offers you help. And he does that because of his son, Jesus. And that's an available gift for any of us. There's nothing we could do to earn it or to really deserve it. Go ahead and bow your heads with me. God, I thank you just for your son that makes this all possible. God, I don't understand why or how sometimes this all works. That you love us despite of our failures, our secrets, our struggles. God, I thank you for that. I thank you that you've come to set us free. I pray if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, that they're seeking you out, they're trying to figure out if this is real or not. God, I pray that they stop trying to figure it out and they just surrender. They just give up and they just say, I need you more now than ever. And I thank you, God, that God, you love us. God, I pray for those that struggle with this dirty little secret or many others. That God, that we can run to you with this. We could find somebody else today to talk about this. I pray for those conversations. God, I pray for boldness. I pray for compassion. As people are going to hear things that disappoint them, that will discourage them, that will upset them. But God, I pray that you can work in and through those relationships and the honesty. And God, I pray that we can start to remove some of this stuff out of our lives. It's not going to just run out the door on its own. So God, I pray that we take control back of some of these things that have overwhelmed us, have snuck into our lives, and now are holding us back from doing and experiencing the good life that you have for us. God, we love you. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Isn't that great? I think one of the things about this is the next step, because I think there's this idea where we can sit in here and go, okay, at least I came and it feels good that I listened to this. But what is the next step that God is asking you to do? Because you know what it is. Don't turn that away. Don't let that feeling just leave you. And the other thing I want to say is that there's a myth out there that thinks that once I receive Jesus Christ, that this whole issue with pornography and sexual addiction just leaves. But that doesn't. It's still a struggle. It's still something that we, as people who wear this flesh, are going to constantly battle. And there's another thing I think that, I don't know why it happens, but when you enter into a church building and the people who are on the stage don't struggle with these issues, but we all do. I've had so many different struggles in my life from early on with this whole issue of pornography. And many of you know Dave and Ann Wilson, and Dave is usually here on Sundays, and he's at our North Campus this morning. Dave and Ann are among the original founders of Kensington. And Dave is actually going to be with Ann tonight here at 6 o'clock sharing that story. But I wanted to just show you just a little bit of their story. So watch this.
In 1985, I was invited as the Detroit Lions chaplain to start traveling with their team on road games. And, you know, at that moment, I thought it was pretty cool. I'll be on a, you know, pro football trip and be in a nice hotel. And so I started traveling with the team. That was 5 years before we started Kensington. Ann and I had been married 5 years. I remember checking in my first hotel on a road trip in Seattle. And they gave me my own room. It was a really nice hotel. I remember walking in. And as I put my clothes away and, you know, looked around the room, I noticed on top of the TV, this is how it was back in those days, there was this box. And it had a little card that said there's movies that you could rent. And I looked at the card, and there were 6 movies, and 3 of them were like Hollywood hits, and 3 of them were porn. And back in 85, it was sort of like soft core porn, they called it. And I remember looking at that thing going, there's no way I'd watch that. I'm a pastor. I'm not going to struggle with this stuff. It's off limits for me. But as I looked at the card, I realized it said free 5-minute preview. That has changed today as well. But back then, you could watch up to 5 minutes before it be added to your bill, and then it's on your bill. So as soon as I saw that, I would love to tell you, I just said, I'll never do that. I looked at that and thought, nobody will know. I can watch up to 5 minutes. Nobody will ever know. It's just me. So I should have ran out of that room, but I didn't. Door was locked. Nobody was there but me. I went, bink, bink. It was about that long. Couldn't have been more than 10 or 15 seconds. I hit one of those channels. I looked down at the TV. I didn't even sit down. I just looked at it, and I turned it right off. And I saw nudity and flesh and porn and heard noises I shouldn't be hearing. And from that second on, I had a dirty little secret. Now, you're looking at a guy that hadn't really struggled with pornography. I mean, I've seen Playboy and Penthouse when I was in college and even when I was 12 years old, but it was beyond me, you know, be in my past, and it was now over. But I could not believe when I returned home from that trip and walked in my house what I felt. Because I had a secret that I was not about to tell her or anybody. I was in a men's accountability group. I wasn't going to tell these guys. There's no way. I was embarrassed. But I couldn't also believe what started to go through my mind. 10 seconds of porn, and I'm starting to see things and hear things and have desires that weren't there before that 10 seconds. I didn't tell anybody. A week or maybe it was 2 weeks later, the Lions are on the road again. I'm on the road again. I walk into that room and I'm thinking, no way, I'm not going to be pulled to this. And I tell you what, if you've ever struggled with this, you know the power. I walked in that room. I saw the same box and I'm like, I'm in a war. I felt like I was in a war. I cannot, I got to run or I'm not going to do it. Guess what I did? Bink. Bink. I never rented a movie. I probably didn't watch more than 20 seconds. But again, the secret just began to grow bigger. So I came home, and I decided I need to tell somebody. Just like Craig said, you got to tell somebody. I told my wife. Scariest stinking moment of my life. I mean, I was trembling. I sort of am right now, because I don't want to tell anybody this secret, let alone a whole church. But I told my wife.
And I wish I could say that I said, wow, honey, I'll really pray for you. That's terrible. I was so angry that I didn't even think about praying. All I could do was yell. And I screamed, said, what are you doing? We're in ministry. And in my heart, the thing that was so hard for me is all of these insecurities began to rise that were already there anyway. And I thought, it's me. It's my fault. What have I done? And all I could do was yell at him. And I wanted to know, is this going to keep happening? And I was scared to death.
And I tell you, at that moment, I thought, see, I shouldn't have told her. I will never tell her if I ever struggle again. I really did. I was like, and then I got mad at her for getting mad at me. Remember? I mean, we just screamed at each other. I'm like, I just told you something I haven't told anybody in life, and here's how you respond. Well, long and short is we don't have 2 hours to tell you the rest of the story. But that moment was the beginning for our marriage to go to another place in terms of intimacy with one another. I'm not talking about sexual intimacy. I'm talking about spiritual intimacy. The secret was now out. I told my accountability guys, and we put together a plan. That was, what, 20-some years ago plus. And I am living in victory today, but I tell you, I would be a liar to stand up here and say every single day, I and many, many men I know, and I know women do as well, struggle as strong today as it ever has been. And without some of the things Craig just talked about, I would lose. And one of the things I want to invite you to, you've already heard us talk about it, but tonight at 6 p.m., we're going to host a panel right in the Troy campus. All right, and we're inviting you to come. And men and women both, Ann and I will share the rest of this story and get a little more detail before then we split up and have the men stay with me with a panel and the women with Ann and ask any questions you want. And you can submit those anonymously on our website. I'll explain that in a minute. But we just want to go a little deeper and let people ask questions because you can't really ask them here on a weekend service, but you can ask them tonight at 6 p.m. So I hope to see you. And you may not be somebody struggling with it. You may know somebody struggling with it. You may just be a man or a woman who wants to be pure. We're going to have small groups there tonight that you can jump in one and says, I want to do better at this. I want to be pure, so I'm going to come. So tonight at 6 p.m., Troy campus. We'll see you there.
There's a little, like even watching this video, he went on last night for about another 15 minutes. And you get just a tinge of, well, he watched it for 15 seconds, and that was what he had to expose to his wife. But if you could keep listening to that video, it grew into this habitual thing. And so you're going to hear more about that tonight and how they dealt with that. I want to just straight up, is just this whole idea of what Craig is talking about with, I don't know, the audience, we have so many different people in here in different situations. There's a person in here that would say, I know my spouse, I suspect my spouse is into this, a man or a woman, I don't know. And I feel like I'm partly responsible for that because I'm not doing such and such. And you start putting yourself into the blame part. Well, here's the thing is you've got to disconnect yourself from the blame part. And then there might be somebody in here that I was just sitting here and talking to one of the guys in the front row. He said he just showed me a list of magazines when he walks into the office of people who have these magazines on their desk. And maybe you're in relationship with a group of men or a group of women that you're around that are constantly talking, joking, looking at Maxim magazine, looking at all of these different things, and you're connected with that. Well, you need to disconnect yourself from those environments, not disconnect yourself from those relationships. And then there's a person in here that would say, I'm addicted. If I ever expose this dirty little secret in my life, what will happen? Will I lose my family? Will I lose, well, just like Craig was talking about, you will if you get caught and it's way down the road. There's no telling where it will lead to. But the thing that you got to do and you have to do is to take that next step. So we expose it to God, number one. God, please come fill this hole. But just because we're Christians, when we invite Jesus in, doesn't mean that we're going to stop struggling. Get accountability. Invite somebody else into that relationship. I remember to the day when I did that. I remember it to the day. I remember the phone call. I remember the room I was in. I remember picking up the phone and calling the person and saying, listen, I've been lying to you, and this is what's going on. And you know how hard it was to get to that point to pick up the actual phone? Because I thought that this person was going to just ridicule me and be just ashamed. I thought I was going to wear this guilt and everything like that because the evil one will have you to think that if you expose this, if you talk about this, if you admit to this, you know what people will think of you? You'll lose everything. And I remember talking to this person and saying, here's where I'm at. And they love our relationship. It was amazing what happened. I get chills when I talk about it. The relationship that blossomed out of that was unbelievable. Because in Romans talks about this, that God came for all of us. He came to save us all from our sins. All of us have sinned. But then he talks about the grace that God has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross. All we have to do is to accept that. That's it. So I want to challenge you. And with that last thing that Craig said is that you've got to run from it. You've got to clean it up. You've got to get it out. One of the things that I've done is I have a computer. I've put safe eyes on it. I've put a filter on it. We have a home computer. My wife is the only one who can access that computer. I've made a commitment to her, just like Craig was talking about. And Craig's one of the ones that's challenged me, is I go to bed with her every single night. Every single night. These are things that I've set up in my life because I know the lure. I know the thing that is just inside of me. My fleshly desires will go there if it has to. So tonight, my challenge to you is maybe you feel like, okay, I've heard enough this morning. I know that I'm feeling some type of pull to the 6 o'clock thing. Come, we're going to have a panel of people here. It's going to be a safe environment. And here's what you can do. You can go online and you can submit a question and it'll be totally anonymous. You can submit any question that you want and no one will know who it is. We've already got tons of questions that are coming in and then we're going to deal with that. All you do is go, that's on our main website. You go, put your mouse over, punch on Craig's face, and then you enter a question. So do that. It's going to be an incredible evening, and so we're going to address all those different things. This time in our service, we're going to receive our offering, and if you are new...